Take your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7. Bear with me. I'm getting used to these new things that I got a few weeks ago. These agers, these things that come along with age. And they're only for reading. So if I take them off, when I leave them on and look up at you, I have a hard time seeing you. So my wife, we were talking about it. She says, yeah, I notice what you do with them. So I'm going to try not to do that. But we'll get into it. One of the things that I didn't realize when I got out of college, or when I was in college, that God was using for future opportunities was when I was in college, just out of high school, I started reffing public school sports. So I do basketball, baseball, and soccer. And actually, that's one of the ways that opened the doors to the school was connection to the superintendent and some of the teachers through their students being in sports. And so over the years, in different, especially basketball, I've seen different things. You've probably heard the statement, snatching victory out of the jaws of defeat. You're close to being defeated, and you find a way to come back. Well, I've seen both sides of it. I've seen teams that had a guaranteed victory, and they did everything possible to lose the game. And I think back to growing up in Northwest Indiana, we were always Chicago Bulls fans. And so in 1995, watching to see who, hold on, okay? We're getting somewhere with this. Are we Bulls fans or Pacers fans? Okay. All right, so watching to see who the Bulls would face in the Eastern Conference Finals in 1995, I remember very distinctly watching the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks face off. And on May 7th, 1995, the New York Knicks were winning game one, 105. Oh, there we go, we're ringing. Somebody does not like this, doesn't like where this is going. But they had a 105-99 point lead in game one with 20 seconds left on the clock. There we go. With 18.7 seconds left on the clock, Reggie Miller makes a clutch three-point shot. Then he forced a turnover, took one dribble, and stepped out behind the three-point line, hit another one. I'm getting more excitement out of this one than I thought. Let's just park it. I have a 91-year-old lady in the church, and after we started the church sometime, I got up and mentioned the Chicago Bulls and all this, and I thought nobody in South Central Pennsylvania is going to care one bit about Chicago Bulls. That night, she brings me a newspaper article from Michael Jordan winning the first title, and she says, "That's my team." So even 90-year-olds can get into Chicago basketball. Anyway, so then they foul the New York Knicks. Their Sparks goes to the line. And he misses both free throws. Patrick Ewing gets the rebound, puts the ball back, and misses again. And they foul Reggie Miller, and he goes to the line and makes two free throws. And the Pacers, man, I didn't think you guys would remember that much about it. Anyway, I give you that illustration because as a Chicago Bulls fan, I did not look at that game and say Reggie Miller did a great job. I looked at that game and said, well, the Knicks turned the ball over. The Knicks missed two free throws. The Knicks missed a putback attempt. And the Knicks fouled probably the best free throw shooter on the team. The Knicks did everything possible to give that victory away. And so I look at that and I say, man, rather than snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory, to me it seems like the Knicks snatched defeat out of the snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory. They had a victory sealed up. They were going to win that game. And they gave it away. And I think of the text that we're going to go there in Joshua chapter 7. And before we read that, I think of Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 3, where the Bible says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Joshua is leading the children of Israel into the promised land, and God gives Joshua a promise: you will have victory everywhere that your foot goes. You're going to have victory. I promised you victory. Guaranteed victory. And Christian, we've probably heard this many times, that the children of Israel so often represents us in the Christian life. And they're crossing over into Jordan, and they're supposed to live a victorious life. Christian, we've crossed over, and as a Christian, we're supposed to live a victorious Christian life. Unfortunately, many of us have chosen that we don't want that, and so we're still wandering in the wilderness. We can't go back to Egypt and be unsaved. But we don't live that victorious Christian life like we ought to. And I come to Joshua chapter 7, and we'll read verse 1 through 6 as we begin this morning. The Bible says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-haven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, and let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor there thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from the gate, from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the heart of the people melted and became as water." I'd like to preach this morning on this idea of snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory. Because God has promised us in the Christian life, we are guaranteed. Did Jesus Christ die on the cross for our sin? Yes. Did he give us victory over a sin? Yes. Did he give us victory over hell? Did he give us victory over death? Yes. Then why are so many Christians living in defeat? I see, and your pastor and others here can attest to this, that there are far too many Christians who are living a defeated Christian life when God has promised and Jesus Christ has paid the price for you to live a victorious Christian life. So why are we living this defeated life? Why are we snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory? I know, I understand, we could look at this, and we'll look at this in the last point, that Achan sinned, and so sin was the reason that they lived in, that they were in defeat. And I agree with that. But do we not believe as Christians that we may fall? We all might sin. That doesn't give us justification for living a completely defeated life. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. We may sin. And so as I looked at this text and as I read through this text, I thought to myself, there has to be something more than just Achan's sin that the children of Israel as a whole lived in defeat. That they faced this defeat, that they saw 36 men die because what took place here. And so I'm going to ask that you would pray with me this morning, and we'll look at some reasons, some things that they did that they snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you'll bless the message this morning. I pray that you'll stir our hearts. I pray that you'll challenge us. Help us to live victorious Christian life. Lord, I pray that we'd see some things here that will help us to gain more victories, to see more defeats of the devil, not defeats of Christians. Pray that you'll bless the time that we have around the Word of God. Thank you for this day. In your name we pray. Amen. The first thing that I see here, if you look back at chapter 5, verse number 13, do you remember Joshua, before he went to the battle of Jericho, he went and he walked around at nighttime, and there at the wall of Jericho, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came to him. It says in verse 13 of chapter 5, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, and his sword was drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And he goes on in verse number 15 and says, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. So he goes and he's there on the wall, by the wall of Jericho. And who does he meet with? The angel of the Lord, but it's holy ground. I believe he was meeting with Jesus Christ. I believe he was meeting with God. But then when it comes to time to go into Ai, I don't see between Joshua 7 verse 1 and 7 verse 5 that Joshua goes to the Lord in prayer. And can I say this morning, I believe one of the reasons that we are facing so much defeat in a land that should be victorious land is because of a lack of prayer. A lack of prayer. We think to ourselves, well, we've been to Jericho. Remember that big city, that big victory that we had? And this is just a little city. I've seen defeat before, or victory before, and now I come to this little battle, and I can handle it just like I handled the big victory. You remember Joshua, he went to the Lord in prayer. I get a sense that what happened here was Joshua goes out over near Jericho, and what does God tell him? God reveals to him the path to victory. He says, what you need to do is send 7 trumpets out in front of the ark, and then the priests will go out with the ark, and then all the people behind the ark, and you'll march around the walls one time around the walls of Jericho for 6 days, and then on the 7th day, you'll march around 7 times, and you'll blow the trumpet. And how did the walls come down? Because God gave them the victory. But then in chapter 7, Joshua does not do this. And what I'd like to tell you is, in verse number 6, he does go to God. And if there was a Joshua 7 verse 6 before Joshua 7 verse 2 through 4, if Joshua would have prayed before sending the men out, there would never have had to be a Joshua chapter 2 verse 5. That 36 men died. Had Joshua went to God, and I love Joshua, I love studying Joshua, but in this particular instance, Joshua sent his men out, and they fought just as they had done all the other times. And I wonder how many of us as Christians go out and fight today's battle, just like I have all the other days, and forget this idea of prayer. And when there's a lack of prayer, we're going to snatch defeat from a guaranteed victory. Verse number 2 and 3, I see it says there, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven. It goes on, it says, saying, go up and view this country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. So they went and looked at this city. They returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Now my mind goes back to this idea of when Joshua and Caleb were sent with the 10. 10 were bad and 2 were good spies. And they went up and they came back, and the 10 bad spies said, we can't do this, they're giants and we're as grasshoppers. And Joshua and Caleb said, God told us we can go. And we see a problem there. This is almost complete opposite. Because these men go up to look at Ai, and they come back and they say, Joshua, it's not that big of a battle. And I see Not only was there a lack of prayer, but I see number two this morning, we see too many defeats because there's a lot of pride going around in the Christian life. And they came back and they said, Joshua, it's no big deal. We'll take this battle. We've faced bigger battles than this. Just send a few men up. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 men and they can do the job. These people are few. These people are powerless. We can whip these guys and it's going to be an easy battle. How many times have we gone out I remember growing up in a sporting events. And you see the team come out and you watch the two teams warm up and you say, boy, this isn't going to be a competition. This team is definitely going to win. And then they get to the battle. They get to the game. And this team knew that they had to work harder than they ever worked before. And they do it. And they overcome that team that should have had the victory. This is what happens as Christians. Christians, we ought to have victory. I could go through so many victories, but let me just say this. In a Christian life, there ought to be victory over sin. There ought to be victory over temptation. But it goes beyond that. Christian sickness, death. As a Christian, we go through these things. We can neither be victorious or defeated in these things. You can go through a time of sorrow and sadness. And how many Christians are living in depression today because of things that have happened to them? And you never, they'll walk around and they're going to tell you how bad their life is. Christian, we don't have to live that way. We can rise above that. But when we go out in today's battle and we think to ourselves, I can handle this just fine. I'm big enough. I'm sorry, there's not one of us in here that is strong enough to defeat the devil on our own. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how many times you've read through your Bible and marked it off on your list there. And I don't care any of that. If you go fight the battle today on your own strength because you've done it all along and you've been able to see victory, you will be defeated at one point or another. I think about a man that came to Satan's armory. Satan was having a yard sale of all his weapons. And as this man went through and he began to look at all the weapons that Satan had, he came to the final weapon and it was the highest marked item. And he said, Satan, why is this weapon so expensive? And he said, it's because it's one of the easiest to use and it's one of the most effective to use. And that weapon was pride. It's so easy for pride to creep in. And it's so hard for us to see that it is pride. And it defeats us. And I see these men come back to Joshua. And as a whole, Israel gets drawn into this idea of a lot of pride. And Satan's going to use that to defeat us. Number three, I see in verse number four, there's a change in this battle plan from Jericho to Ai. Jericho, everybody went to the battle. Everybody walked around the walls of Jericho. It said all the people, if there was someone even in a wheelchair back then, they were at Jericho. The little infant babies, if I read that right, the mothers would have them with them too. The children, the lady. Why are they going to battle? Because God said everybody's involved. And we come here in verse number four, and it says, just send about 2,000 or 3,000, and they send 3,000 men out. And I see the third reason that we may face defeat in this battle where we should have guaranteed victory is when we decide to have a little less participation. Oh, it changed from that first battle that God told them all to go, and now just a few. The battle today rages. And the battle in this church and in this community rages. It's not time for less participation. It's time to go in more. It's time to get involved more. God is calling for all of us to be in the battle. I think about the idea, your pastor said tonight's vision night. And you say, well, last year's vision was a little bit more exciting and I was all into that. But maybe this year's not as excited. Last year was 50 years, right? 2 years ago. 50 years is an exciting year to be a part. But, you know, 52, that's not that big a deal. I think about our church a couple years ago, we had the theme of, our theme was going forward. And then we had the theme of his fruit in his season. And then last year we had the theme, occupy till I come. Kind of all forward movement. And this year God led us to 2 Timothy 3:14, just continue. And I thought to myself as I was getting ready for this message, maybe those are motivated. Just continue. What joy is that? The monotony of the ministry. Just stay faithful. And you say, well, maybe I'm going to back down because this isn't as glorying of a theme to have. And when you allow yourself, I believe there's a direct correlation to less participation in the things of God to living a defeated Christian life. God wants you to be involved. Get involved. Find something you can do. Find something you can do. There is always something. There's a piece of trash that can get picked up. Well, no, that's too... I'm above that. Okay, then back up to the lot of pride that's involved and hit that. There's nothing... That's why I think why I love having started the church and pastoring a small church. I tell the young men that come out and intern with us, just do it, because if you don't do it, it may not get done. If you see a need, do it. Get involved. And the needs may not be being in front of people. I am so thankful for the people that mow our grass and clean our building and shovel our snow and do these things behind the scene that when other people come to church, they don't even think about it. They're involved. But then you have the other people that, Pastor, if you ever need somebody to preach, I can do it for you. And say, well, you want to clean the bathroom? Oh, no. And I'm not picking on them, but one guy told me he could preach, and then I asked him to be a part of a discipleship, lead a discipleship group. Well, I think you need to get the people that need work in that area better. That's a defeated Christian life that you're heading in. No, Pastor, that's too low for me. But get involved, be involved, jump in and go head first into it. Say, well, I might make mistakes. We're all humans, we're all going to. But I'd rather make a mistake doing what God wants me to do than sit at home and not do anything for God because I'm afraid to make a mistake. But I see also number four, so a little less participation. Number four, I see a loss of power. A loss of power. For this, I'd have to jump back to Deuteronomy 32, verse 30, that says, how shall one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 out to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? So God's talking to Moses and he tells him, he says, hey, just so you know, the children of Israel have an extraordinary power. The ability that one man could take 1,000 enemies. And if he put two Israelites together, they can set 10,000 enemy on the run. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty strong. I'd like to be that type of warrior. Well, that's what we are. We have the power of God. We can defeat in that way. We can be that strong. And so you see just those couple numbers should be able to see great victory. And now we come to this battle of Ai, and they have 3,000 men who should have power from God, and they get defeated. there's a loss of power there. The math adds, if this math in Deuteronomy 32 adds up, they should have easily defeated the city of Ai, but they lost 36 men. What happened? They lost the power of God in their life. Christian, we go out too many times having lost the power of God. You go to Mark 16, 15, and it talks about the Great Commission, and it says the Lord working with them. We go out into battle today. We go out against the devil today. We need to be going with the Lord working with us. Christian, you have guaranteed power from God in your life to help you fight the battles and guarantee victory. And I wonder how many Christians go out today into battle with a little less power. A little less power from God, and we don't even know it. And then, of course, we see in verse number 1, the fifth point here, is defeat instead of victory because of a life of pleasure. A life of pleasure. I ask you this morning to stop and think. This whole story of the Battle of Ai, who is it about? If you think of the Battle of Ai, who do you think about? Achan. The whole story is about Achan. And I thought to myself as I read through this, do you think Achan was at that Battle of Ai? I don't think so. My guess is he's probably sitting at home in his tent counting his gold, counting his silver, trying on his garments from Jericho, thinking to himself, I wonder when I can wear this in public. And he says to himself, I'm just going to enjoy this pleasure for a little bit. I'm going to enjoy my goods. And there's a direct correlation with your life of pleasure, your lack of participation in the things of God, and the defeat that you have in your life. I don't think he was fighting at all. When we get involved in this life of pleasure, and I'm going to preach at the men for a little bit here, because Achan was a man. And we get involved in this life of pleasure, and let me stop and tell you, his life of pleasure was not pornography is sin. Immorality is sin. But what was his life of pleasure? Money. Looking good. Clothing. Things. And be honest with me. We like things. I like things. I like nice cars. I like when I go on vacation and find a nice car for $44 a day. That I would never buy because it's too expensive. I like to enjoy those things. But I can also get wrapped up in those things. I live in a hunting community too, so I think we have a lot of similarities to this area. We got to have every rifle. We got to have every bow. And we got to have every type of camouflage. I mean, everything. It doesn't matter if I already have all the camouflage. This is a new one. And girls, if pink's out there, you got to have that camouflage too. I got two daughters. They like camo too. And we like all these things. Maybe it's cars. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. And that life of pleasure. Have you ever noticed when you start getting distracted by those things, your desire to be involved in godly things drops a little? Achan wasn't in the battle that I see. And it costs something. Can I real quick illustrate this? I hope this doesn't take too long. If you are a man in here that has a wife and children, would you please stand up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Most of the men in the church will count you too, because we were talking before. All right, you can have a seat. More men, more husbands than are in this church died that day because of Achan's life of pleasure. More children were without fathers than in this church because of his life of pleasure. And I ask you fathers to think about it right now. Is it worth your children losing their daddy because of that little bit of pleasure that you want? Men, think about it. Is it worth your wife losing her husband for that little bit of pleasure? Is it worth this church losing the men, all the men that stand for the truth of God's word, losing all of them because of your pleasure? Think about it. Your distraction of pleasure could be what costs all the men in this church. Because it costs 36 men, costs 36 husbands, costs 36 fathers. All because Achan wanted a little bit of pleasure. Guys, it's not worth it. Young guys, it's not worth. It doesn't matter what your friends think that you have the coolest looking clothes. If they look at you and they say, he doesn't have anything nice that he wears. Fine, because you don't answer to them. You answer to God anyways. And those things are going to burn up. I'm a little burdened. Because I've seen many of my friends that I grew up with that have gone to the devil, and it boils back to their dad wanted his life of pleasure. My wife, we've talked about it over the last few days a little bit with other people. So-and-so went to the devil. So-and-so, so-and-so. And you can almost always trace it back to dad had a problem. Yes, I understand they have a choice. I believe in the individual soul liberty. But the sins of the father go to the third and fourth generation too. And I believe the children of Israel went in defeat because of a little bit of pleasure. Let me give you three things as we close this morning. And by the way, if you go back through, starting in chapter 7, verse number 6, Joshua went to prayer. Verse number 6, he humbled himself. It says he rent his clothes. I think that's a sign of humility, isn't it? Chapter 8, verse 3 through 5, it says all the people went to battle. Chapter 8, verse 7, it says the Lord gave the victory. The power of God is back on them. And we know from chapter 7, verse 26, that they got rid of sin. And as a result, they saw victory in Ai. Christian, go back to those things, but let me give you three things real quick that will help you restore that guaranteed victory. Number one, look back to God's Son. Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Get our eyes off of what I want. Get our eyes off of my pleasure and how I am and how good I am. Get my eyes off me and get them back on Jesus. And you'll be on a good path to getting back into victorious Christian life. Number two, go back to listening to God's command. Somewhere along the line, Joshua got this. Because in Joshua 24, verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to obey the Lord. We're going to listen to his command. He says there in chapter 24, you go make your choice. But I'm going to make the choice to serve God. Listen to his commands. Obey his commands. Just, it's not hard. We tell our children this all the time. Obedience is not hard. But then we get to our Christian life and, well, God asked me to do that and that's a little hard. Just do it. Just obey. And then the last thing that will help us get back on this path of victory is stop laying treasures up on earth. Lay up treasures in heaven. Where moth and rust doth not corrupt. And where thieves do not break through nor steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Christian, it's important for us to fight this battle that we have in God's strength. Far too many Christians are ending up in defeat. Let me ask you this morning to do this. Think back to 2024. We're in a new year. I love new years because it kind of gives us a new beginning, a new start, a reset button. And look at times that you were defeated in 2024. Hopefully not, utterly defeated. But you fell. You messed up here. You messed up there. Let's get back to, look back at those things, reflect on those things, and say, these are the decisions that I made that defeat happen, allowed that defeat to happen. And say, I can't make those decisions. I can't do that again. I can't go out today and fight without asking God for help. I can't fight today without prayer. I can't fight today in my own strength. I can't go today and live a life just for the pleasures that I want. God wants you to have victory. God wants you to end up. We are already on the winning side. So it's not like all of a sudden I'm ending up on the winning side. No, I'm already on the winning side. So why are we facing defeat? Christian, you shouldn't. You shouldn't live the defeated Christian life. God wants you and has given you all power to live victorious Christian life. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the truths that you give to us in the Word of God, that we can live victorious Christian life. Lord, my heart is burdened for myself, for my family, for my church, for the folks here. Lord, that we not live defeated. You don't want us to live defeated, but rather victorious. And I pray that we'd see these things this morning that have caused Israel to fall and take warning of those things. I pray that you'll bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts. In your name we pray.